We move down to reports and elected official department directors' reports. Measure 21-177.
Commissioners, if I might, I'm assuming that most of the folks in the audience here want to hear about this particular measure, what the next steps are. I'm going to start by making a commentary here because I think this applies very carefully and closely in this particular situation. Democracy is messy. That's a statement that I think as we discuss this matter here, we're going to learn more and more about. Measure 21-177, which is the freedom of Lincoln County from aerial spray pesticides, resulted, I think, in the closest countywide ballot measure election that at least I've observed in the 30 years that I've been here in Lincoln County. There were high emotions and strong opinions on all sides of this issue, and they played out over the last few months. And there was and is much speculation about what the measure legally can and cannot accomplish now that the election is over. So today, with the board, we're going to be discussing issues and challenges, as well as our options, as we determine next steps concerning this measure. I want to go through a little background, because I think it's very important to get a little information related to this. First of all, this measure came about because a group of citizens formed a nonprofit association called the Lincoln County Community Rights Nonprofit, and assisted by the National Community Rights Legal Defense Fund, they crafted an ordinance to ban aerial spraying of pesticides in Lincoln County. I need to make sure it's understood and up front that Lincoln County and my office, the Office of Lincoln County Legal Counsel, were not involved in the preparation or in the review of this particular ordinance. The group proposed adoption of the ordinance through a petition process as a local county initiative ballot measure, and that was on the May 16, 2017 election. And that's authorized under both Oregon law and county code. The requisite number of signatures were gathered by the petitioners to place the matter on the ballot, and the measure was passed by a margin of 6,994 for and 6,933 against, so a 61-vote difference here. This is not the first measure the community rights groups and Community Rights Legal Defense Fund have attempted in Oregon. In fact, I was able to find that there are four other counties, and including Lincoln County, five counties have voted on similar measures. And although the subject matter has been different in some of those measures, there's been two kind of core issues that have been addressed on these. The one is the banning of aerial spraying. The other is banning genetically engineered, genetically modified plants and foods. There are efforts underway in at least one other county right now, and a statewide measure is being prepared for circulation, basically by the community rights groups across the state. But I want to tell you that a common feature, and in fact the one constant in all of these particular measures, is that they've been the subject of litigation, and extensive litigation. So I want to talk a little bit about what's happened out there. Jackson County was the first county to consider a community rights measure. And the subject matter of that particular measure was to ban the use of genetically engineered plants, or what we more commonly refer to or hear to as GMOs. It was a very straightforward ordinance, I thought, that prohibited propagation, cultivation, raising, or growing of genetically engineered plants in the county. It was dissimilar to the Lincoln County ordinance in that it contained none of the identified natural rights references, any of the direct action or self-enforcement remedies, or invalidation of other existing laws language, which are in the Lincoln County ordinance. That measure passed, and that measure is currently the law in Jackson County. But the measure was challenged in court. And the county actually, in that particular case, delayed enforcement of the law pending the resolution of the lawsuit. It took several years to work its way through the court system. The circuit court ruled that the ordinance was valid and under the law at that time. But the county had to reach a settlement with the parties, the plaintiffs that brought that particular lawsuit, that allowed them to actually continue to raise genetically engineered crops for a period of up to 8 years. That was a settlement that was reached in that particular litigation. The second effort that I was able to observe was in Josephine County. But in between the time that Jackson County adopted their ordinance and Josephine County considered their ordinance, the state legislature stepped in and in 2013 adopted a statute called the Seed Bill. It's in the Bill 563, which is ORS 633.738, which very specifically prohibits a local government, including counties, from enacting an ordinance to regulate or a regulation to prevent production of agriculture, flower, nursery, vegetable seeds, and other products. After that law's effective date in 2014, Josephine County voters were presented with one of these ordinances very similar to the Jackson County ordinance. The voters of Josephine County approved that particular ordinance too. At that time, the Josephine County commissioners refused to enforce the ordinance. They said that they felt it was invalid and they were not going to enforce it. It took a couple of years, but in 2015, another action was filed in court, in Circuit Court in Josephine County. And this action challenged the validity of the Josephine County measure. After ruling on a number of preliminary issues that only lawyers would love and understand, the court held that the county's ordinance was preempted by state law and therefore was invalid and unenforceable, and enjoined Josephine County from taking any action to enforce the ordinance. That was the ruling of the court. That decision is currently on appeal to the Oregon Court of Appeals. The parties briefed that particular matter, and they completed their briefing last month. I found it kind of interesting. There was no discussion of that particular court action in any of the discussion around this particular ordinance or any examination of that. The case is pending, but we don't yet have a decision. The third time this came up was in Benton County, our neighbor to the east. This was the first ordinance that deviated from the fairly standard kind of ordinance model of the Jackson and Josephine ordinance to include newly identified protections for natural communities, and in this case, seed heritage was another one of the things that was protected, and to include provisions around self-government and self-executing rights. In that sense, it really is closer in language to the Lincoln County ordinance than to the either Jackson or Josephine County ordinances. It was entitled the Local Food System Ordinance. In addition to prohibiting genetically engineered organisms, it would establish certain rights of agriculture, as noted above. It affirmatively sought to repeal inconsistent county laws and asserted, for the first time that I've seen anyway, that it preempted state and federal laws inconsistent with the enumerated rights and prohibitions of the ordinance. Like its predecessors, the measure was litigated. These were pre-election challenges to the ballot measure. I want to note that these pre-election challenges do not ever challenge any of the substantive language or provisions of the law. The courts do not engage in providing advisory opinions, so they will not look at any of the substance of any of these laws until after the voters have spoken and after they voted on it. So there's actually some very limited challenges that are made pre-election, but nonetheless, those challenges were asserted in Benton County. They were resolved, and the ballot or the measure made the ballot in Benton County. After an extensive campaign, similar to the one going on here by groups supporting and opposing the measure, the voters of Benton County defeated that ordinance. Therefore, it's not in effect in Benton County. Coos County held an election at the same time that we held our election to consider an ordinance in May of 2016. This was a little bit different subject matter here. Again, the same kind of language, the same kind of philosophy around proposing an ordinance, but it was called Establishing a Community Bill of Rights for Sustainable Energy Future. And it contained some of the same language we see here about self-governing authority and asserted, again, preemption of state and federal laws contrary to the enactment. I was unable to find out whether or not there were any pre-election challenges to that measure. There may have been, but I wasn't able to find that. But nonetheless, it went before the voters in Coos County, and the Coos County voters rejected this ordinance. So therefore, it's not in effect in Coos County. Currently, there are three proposed amendments before Lane County. These are amendments to the Lane County Charter. Lane County has a home rule charter. It's a home rule county. The measures actually incorporate kind of elements of some of the previous things that were done here. One amendment would establish the protection of the local food system ordinance. The second would ban aerial spraying of herbicides, is what they call it. And the third would establish community self-government. These amendments had not yet qualified for the ballot in Lane County, but as with others, they were subject to pre-election litigation and challenges. That pre-election litigation has preliminarily been resolved. These are going forward. They're at the signature gathering stage, but the court noted, and the parties, I'm sure, will continue litigating, that there are additional legal challenges that will be made once this qualifies for the ballot. And then again, as in Josephine County, it appears that, if this is enacted, there will be post-election challenges. The last one is the statewide ballot measure. This is a measure to amend the Oregon Constitution, and it's entitled the Right of Local Community Self-Government. And it's currently seeking signatures to qualify for the statewide 2018 ballot. This measure, like the others, was challenged in court. And in fact, this particular case involved the Attorney General's office and attorneys for the petitioners who raised, again, pre-election litigation questions, and those were resolved, and this is going ahead. So where are we in Lincoln County? I'm not sure that people know or understand yet, but like the other enumerated measures, we've already been in court twice on this particular measure. These were pre-election challenges. In each case, the county defended the right to proceed with the election. That is the status of the law. We avoided, I'm going to quote now from language I thought was really good in the statewide ballot measure challenge there. But what we did is we avoided the temptation to delve into the language and meaning of the measure. Those are initially the subjects for citizens to consider and debate. So we could not have this discussion about what the measure might do or might not do prior to it being enacted. That was our responsibility and duty at that stage of the initiative process. But we also recognized very clearly in the early stages, both my office and the courts, that there are legal questions and challenges with this particular measure. And we noted that there were legal challenges and questions in the briefs that we submitted to the court. What we argued, and rightfully so, is you can't deal with those issues until after the voters have raised or voted on the issue. But now we're at the stage when we need to identify those issues and establish really a clear path to resolution of the issues, even if that leads to invalidation of the ordinance. I want it clearly understood that my concerns are not limited to a single provision of the ordinance, such as the direct action self-enforcement provisions, or involve a simple clarification of definitions, such as what does aerial spraying actually mean. I see that there are fundamental problems with the ordinance under Oregon law, and likely federal law too. And they may be beyond any changes we can make to the ordinance, any tweaks we can make to salvage it and accomplish its intended purposes. But I also think that contrary to what's been done in a couple of the other cases here, there may be components of the ordinance which are valid, and that will apply later after a review by the courts. So I was prepared today to identify some of these issues and a possible series of steps to address the issues in the only manner that I feel can fully and fairly air and resolve all the concerns, and that's in the courts. But things changed as of 3 o'clock yesterday. And I'm putting my initial recommendations on hold because the first legal action challenging the ordinance has already been filed in Lincoln County as of 3 o'clock yesterday. That changes both the manner of our response and our next steps, as my office must first and foremost prepare to assist the court in reviewing the ordinance in light of the filed complaint. Now, I want you to know that I've been in contact, just especially in the last few days, with proponents and opponents, attorneys who represent both. Because, again, there was litigation involved in Lincoln County. The petitioners who brought this forward had an attorney who represented them in that. I've been in contact with that attorney. We've also been contacted by other attorneys who may want to get involved in this. My philosophy is going to be the more the merrier here. I want this thing to be fully and fairly reviewed And I'd like to have it done in as efficient a manner as it can, in as few actions as are necessary. I was very concerned at the outset that we would see this piecemeal attacked and have to deal with this on a piecemeal basis. And I would much rather have it fully examined rather than do this on a case-by-case basis. So I really have no doubt that, that like in all the other cases around the state and in our own case in Lincoln County, that there's going to be representatives of the various interests here involved in the litigation, and there'll be arguments made on all sides of the issue. I will seek to join in addition, given the nature of what's done here, being proposed here, the Attorney General's office. Since one of the arguments that's being proffered is that this local enactment preempts state law. When you're doing something like that, when a preemption issue comes up, by law we have to at least inform the Attorney General's office. They've been involved in other litigation around this particular issue. They were involved in Josephine County, so I have no doubt that they will also participate. I think the litigation was really the one outcome all the parties certainly could have foresee was going to happen as a result of this particular election. I think it's important to note, though, as we take our positions on this, that counties have and will at times take positions contrary to enactments, federal or state, that we believe do not comply with law. That also would be a position that may be contrary to the enactments that are made by the voters of the county. Now, one recent example of that is that the president issued an executive order on immigration and threatened to withhold funding from jurisdictions, including the county. Lincoln County, like many other counties and jurisdictions statewide and across the nation, has not implemented those provisions because we believe they're contrary to state law. And it's not uncommon for courts, upon review of voter-enacted ballot measures, to later invalidate those measures. So I want you to understand this is not something that will be a first time that's ever happened. Again, the courts do not do a pre-review before the voters vote. They don't issue advisory opinions. They don't review the substance. That can only occur after the fact. So I was able to find, just looking at a very cursory examination, actually, I found that Oregon or federal courts invalidated at least 7 different ballot measures approved by the voters of the state. And they ranged from a variety of issues all across the what might be considered the political spectrum here. They invalidated term limits, both on a state and federal level. They invalidated provisions to try and limit PERS, the public employee retirement system. They invalidated the Marriage Act. You may recall that one. That was an act that was passed by the voters of Oregon to define marriage as between one man and one woman. Counties actually said, we opposed that. We thought it was contrary to law, and we were actually later vindicated when the courts did invalidate that particular measure. There was a measure that concerned that predated the measures 49 and 37 and 49, which was called Measure 7, which actually said that local governments were required to pay for regulations of land use. That was invalidated by the court. So it's not unusual, again, to see that happen. And unfortunately, we've actually advocated in the past that there should be a methodology for pre-screening some of these measures before they actually make it out to the voters. But, you know, I can understand why there's more of an attempt to let the voters decide what you're going to do, and then you're going to take care of those. So at this point, my recommendation to the board, again, I had a series of recommendations to both implement the ordinance and then get it in a different methodology in front of the courts, and I may still come back and make those recommendations. But at this point, what I have to inform the board is that it's now in the hands of the court. And we will be participating in that litigation, and I'm sure, again, many others will be participating in litigation. The one thing I would like direction from the court that the plaintiffs have asked that they will seek from the court, and I actually agree with this one, is they will ask that we get a preliminary injunction against the provision of the ordinance that authorizes direct action. I'm extremely concerned that anybody who believes that this local enactment will somehow, and I'm going to be a little bit well, I'm just going to say, that gives them a get-out-of-jail-free card by committing a direct action that's contrary to, for instance, a state criminal law is sorely mistaken. I'm very sure that that particular provision, I think that it's more likely than not that the court will throw out that particular provision. You can't do a local enactment. It's very clear under case law, under the system of laws between state and local governments, that you can't somehow create a civil law that invalidates criminal law. So I'm worried about somebody feeling that they're immune from prosecution by committing an act. I think you're also going to find that they're going to also say that you're not immune from other common law tort remedies from a landowner who may actually, if you trespass, if you damage property, you did any of those kinds of direct action activities here. So I think that I would like to suggest that the board join in, give the courts an opportunity to actually rule on that particular measure, see where that goes before we actually look at any kind of, before it actually goes into effect. This will take some time. I have no doubt that this will not only go through the Lincoln County Circuit Courts, but one or the other side will appeal this to the Oregon Court of Appeals, and possibly, if they're unhappy with the decisions made by the Court of Appeals, to the Supreme Court. We're going to be involved in litigation for some time. And that's just the nature of the beast. That's what these are. That's what these particular measures, that's what's happening across the country, not just in Oregon, but across the country. So that's where we're at. And I'm here to take any questions you might have. I would like some direction, though, on joining in with the plaintiffs and actually requesting that at least that provision, it's provision 6A and B of the ordinance, be enjoined.
No. Okay, question. So
sure.
That's only not seeking an injunction to stay enactment of the entire ordinance?
It won't, but in effect, you know, that's basically that takes out the self-help kind of provisions
right.
In here. So we're going to wait, I think as they did in Josephine County and Jackson County and others, we're going to wait until the courts actually rule on these things. And I'll be very upfront. I think it's more likely than not, in my understanding and reading of the law, and I've read all the briefs that were filed in the Josephine County case and others, that the court is going to rule that portions, if not all, of this ordinance are invalid. They have raised arguments of preemption, which is one of the key legal issues here, that is not just under one state law, but three state laws that actually already are involved in the regulation of pesticides in Oregon.
Will you follow three state laws? Okay.
Yeah, it's
before he does that, I have to ask a follow-up question for the last one.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but then, so if I read the ordinance correctly and I understand process, it says it takes effect 30 days after the election result is certified, mm-hmm. which was June 5th. So unless the courts act by July 5th, the ordinance would go into effect, or
It would actually go into effect.
Okay.
But again, I think what we're going to do is we're going to enjoin the right to do the self-help, that portion of it, that if the court agrees with that. And I actually don't think that they will rule otherwise. I think they'll actually grant that order for an injunction. And then I would actually recommend that we don't enforce the ordinance until we get some rulings from the court. We need to get some clarity on this.
Thank you.
Okay. So in answer to your question, the three major statutes that they're alleging in the complaint are the State Pesticide Control Act, which is ORS Chapter 634, the Oregon Forest Practices Act, which is ORS Chapter 527, and for lack of a better name for this, it's called the Right to Farm and Forest Act, and that is found in ORS Chapter 30. And they've raised a number of other constitutional arguments, a number of other legal arguments. That's just the three main ones.
Well, I've said all along, my concern has been I took an oath of office to protect and support the Constitution, and I've said publicly many times I question some of the constitutionality of some of the language in the measure. And so I think the courts need to clarify that.
Well, basically the same thing you do. That's what our oath says we're supposed to do. And that's what I'm trying to do. follow the law.
Once we determine what the law is, it's certainly supported.
To let folks know, what I intend to do with my office is, as we actually file pleadings in this particular matter, as the pleadings come to us, we'll post them on our website so folks can take a look at it. A lot of this is very legalistic, but it is in some ways, and obviously there's a whole lot of actually a whole lot of case law, surprisingly, on these particular issues out there. That's why I don't lightly say that I think it's more likely than not that portions or the whole ordinance will be found invalid. That's my reading. I've read very carefully the case law out there. But it is a system, and I hope people will critically analyze when they go back and look at this, critically analyze this relationship between state, federal, and local law, and read through, if you can read through some of the legalistic part of this thing, really look closely at this, because I think this is a very, very different approach to governance in terms of what's being proposed here. And I think if you look at it critically, there may be some issues and questions raised about that approach and how it might be applied in other areas and arenas. By the same token, I want to clear that the county, I mean, there's going to be these preemption arguments, the county's position generally, and in following the rule of law in the system here, is we go to the legislature constantly and argue against preemption. And it wouldn't be beyond us to say, you know, the battle here needs to happen at the state. It needs to happen with your state representative and your state senator and those in the legislature who enacted the preemption in the first place. We try to battle these preemptions. We don't like preemption. We do not like it. There have to be some good reasons. But that being the case, for whatever policy and political reasons, this particular subject matter, as well as several others in the state, they have preempted our ability to control that locally.
Comment on that. Because legislatures change, not only parties but individuals, that an invalidation happens regularly by the makeup of the body. Because I've worked on a couple of these while I was in the legislature. Is that what you foresee going on? Is a future body then?
Well, it's interesting. I thought, again, it was sort of interesting that I didn't see any discussion about this. There was actually a measure in front of the Oregon legislature this year. Representative Hovey from Eugene proposed a measure, and I can get you the number. It's HB 3226, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Is that right? 3226.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That actually would have accomplished a lot of not everything. It would have been a complete ban, but what actually would have reinstated local control over this particular issue in a number of areas. So, for instance, one of the areas that was discussed here was regulations around water resources and especially around municipal water sources out there. This bill, had it passed, if it were to pass, would actually give local governments the ability to regulate around those watersheds. And so there's been some action. There's some efforts in that arena to actually address the issue. And I was really somewhat surprised that I didn't see any commentary around that particular issue.
If I understand correctly, do you know, Mr. Belmont, that it had a hearing in committee but did not get a vote to advance out of committee?
Yes. I think that's the case. So there have been other efforts out there to deal with this issue on a statewide basis.
Okay.
So I just make sure that I understand. Do I have your consensus to proceed? I mean, I'm obviously going to proceed in the litigation and presenting a county position out there and making sure the court has all the information it needs to make a decision. But in terms of requesting with the plaintiffs and supporting an injunction on those provisions 6A and 6B?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but I would like you to explain there's several different things in there that the county we should protect ourselves and our rights that are going to be a different way. Can you explain how that you mentioned in the room? That
well, you know, they raise, they're basically, there's two claims for relief in what's been filed so far. The first is what I'll call They're challenging the validity of the ordinance as adopted, so they're actually joining the county clerk in and saying they want the court to order that the election be declared invalid. They're raising three separate arguments. One deals with provisions of the Oregon Constitution around enumerating full text of the measure. Second is a single subject argument. And the third is that this is beyond matters of county concern. I can tell you right now, our position will be to oppose all three of those. And for a couple of reasons. The first one, the matters of county concern, we believe this is a matter of county concern. They may have preempted us from dealing with it, but it is a matter of county concern, and we're not going to concede that it's not a matter of county concern. The other two, interestingly enough, were already litigated. In our minds, they've been litigated. The plaintiff's attorney is citing another state statute, and he's going to bring up these arguments in a different context. He's going to argue, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds about great legal arguments you make on these things, claim preclusion, res judicata, all these different concepts out here. But we would actually be taking a position that would oppose those, that things. The second claim for relief is the declaratory judgment thing. That invokes the preemption under those statutes that I cited and various other arguments they make. And there may be elements of those in which we're not going to oppose what they're saying. We're basically going to leave it to the court. We're going to say, here's what the law says, and let the court decide on those things. There are other elements of that you know, especially those that address matters of county concern, that we're going to take a position contrary to them. So. That's all I have.
Okay.
Public input.